I think most Christians are aware that you can't have Easter without Good Friday. Our Lord trampled down death by his death, and it was through the passion and death of Christ that we were led from slavery and bondage to sin through the exodus of this life into the new and eternal Jerusalem of heaven. There is no resurrection without suffering. There is no sacrifice without blood. And I think that most Christians also realize that you also can't have Ash Wednesday without Palm Sunday. Because the ashes that are sprinkled on your heads or mark your brow with a cross come from the palms that we used last year at the beginning of Great and Holy Week. Those palms that were fresh and green some 325 days ago and now are brown and brittle and most definitively dead and beyond recognition as ever having been a living thing at all. But really, you can't have Ash Wednesday without Holy Thursday. In the ancient church, the custom of celebrating the sacrament of penance by popping into a small, lightless box and quietly whispering your deepest, darkest secrets, your venial sins and faults and imperfections, along with the big ones, that custom did not become widespread until, in the Middle Ages, the Irish monks made private auricular confession the normative way of celebrating the sacrament of penance. No, in the primitive church, in the first generations of Christians, you went to church at the beginning of Lent and shouted out your sins before God and everybody. And when I say sins, I mean the worst of the mortal ones, the ones that you couldn't hide if you wanted to, because everybody in the community knew that you had done what you did. In today's cancel culture, that would be enough to cast you out of whatever spaces you thought until then to be safe. In the ages of faith, the bishop greeted your sackclothed and barefoot sinful self at the door of the cathedral, and casting on your head the very ashes that you would one day be destined to be, cast you out as well. But not for long. You know, the Christian message is not, you're a vile disgrace to humanity and deserve to be excommunicated from the body of decent people forever. That is not the message of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even though if you meet a lot of Christians, they seem to act like that is the message, don't they? But the Christian message does include this: no sin is private. When you sin, you commit a sin against yourself, against God, and against the entire body of Christ. And humble recognition of that fact meant that you and everyone that you knew and everyone knew that you needed some time away, some time out to get your head on, to get your heart right. And so the bishop stood between you and the door to the house of God, not like a judgy bouncer to keep you out, but as a loving father who is ready to embrace the prodigal son at the door, but he says, just a little bit. wait just a little bit. He was testing the people who had come to the door. Was this a momentary enthusiasm that led you to a quick and dirty repentance episode? Or was it a life-changing encounter with mercy? Was the community ready to accept you back as one of their own, as if nothing had ever happened? Were the people you sinned against ready to forgive, to heal, to reconcile, and to move on? They needed time. And so the acceptable time was given to simmer in the water and blood shed from the heart of Christ, once again to warm a heart that had been frozen by sin. Time given to the church, that by each one removing the log from his own eye and interceding for the lost sheep, then the whole church would have time to grieve the loss that sin had brought her and rise to the occasion to welcome back a child of God to the fold. We don't do this in our own time anymore, do we? Right? You know, I love me some old-time religion, right? But I think it would be a disaster if we did this. I'll tell you why. Because the medicine of mercy could be mistaken for the poison of human partial judgment, and people in the wait could despair of their eternal salvation. And that is not what the good Jesus wants for any of us. And so the church, as she has understood the beautiful sacrament of penance, of what it means to be signed, sealed, and delivered with the blood of the Lamb, and delivered over to the awesome mercy of God, his church discreetly calls her children to a day of fast, a day that is not even a holy day of obligation, and whispers ever so carefully, you don't need to shout out your sins to the world. Just receive the mark of your own mortality on your forehead as a paradox. Remind you that death doesn't have to be the end of your story if you just have faith that love will conquer all. I am the vine, and you are the branches. The Lord Jesus said those powerful words, words which inspired the entire populace of the holy city to go outside the city to welcome the son of the carpenter from Nazareth as a conqueror, a victor, and a liberator to establish a kingdom. I want you to think about what they did. It's absolutely incredible. They spread even their very garments on the road so that not even the smallest speck of dust or drop of mud could defile the teacher, the preacher, and the worker of miracles. They went to those mighty palm trees of Jerusalem and cut the branches right off them. removed and unplugged them from their source. Those palms had to be an incredible sight, waving and dancing in the air, fresh and beautiful, just like the ones we got last year on Palm Sunday. But those people outside of the city had cut them off from the very thing that gave them life. And so is it really a surprise that those plants would wither and decay and die? And the same people who sang Hosanna to the Son of David 5 days later would mob against him and call publicly for his execution, crucify him, crucify him. How many times have you and I in our lives loved Jesus so much that we could sing with everything in our being, all glory, laud, and honor to you, Redeemer King, and then we are just like Peter, Jesus who? And we deny him before the world. All of that trust and love and confidence in God, gone like that. The branches had cut themselves off from the vine, from not just their own life, but from the author of life itself. Lent may start with the ashes that are the sad end to palms that had once been a victory, because we leave the ark of salvation in grace. We turn our attention from the Creator to the created things that are destined to pass away and experience the depressing end of what was and what could have been so good. But where does the journey of Lent have its fulfillment? Holy Thursday, when we celebrate the institution of the sacred priesthood and the sacrifice of the Mass. Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. The penitents of old were reconciled to Christ and his church on that day after a fast of 40 days, wandering in a desert of the real absence, so that in God's acceptable time, they could be one with the presence. The presence under the sacramental veils of bread and wine that come forth from the side of Christ as the blood of the Eucharist and the waters of baptism. The branches are reconnected to the vine. Sinners are grafted once again onto the sinless so that life can take hold again where the kingdom is within by the gift of grace. My friends, Lent begins tonight with a sign of death. But Lent is really about learning to live again, so that when we cross the threshold of the Paschal Triduum, the entire church rejoices to hear those words to each one of us from our merciful Father. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.